Hello, lovers and friends, and welcome back to another episode of the Romantically Lit podcast featuring two undercover hopeless romantics who kiki as they review different Black romance novels across the diaspora. It's your girl, Hana. I know.
And I'm Odelia.
And on today's episode, we continue reading A Very Giddy Christmas by Tomilola Coco Adeyemo. Today, we're going to go through chapters 6 to 14, and we are so excited, you guys, because as you know, last episode, we're trying to figure out who released that video, but we're getting closer and closer to know who the suspects are. Anyway, don't forget to check out last episode on this book because we're going to share some spoilers. There's a lot of revelations that happen. And while you're there, you might as well just peruse and view the other Black romance novels we reviewed in the past, such as Odelia, Take It Away Again.
Such as, who do we review? The book before this that we read was
Kirby Girl Summer by Daniel Allen. Next.
Yes. Then before that, we read Fatima Bala, and that was Broken Down's Law Story. Then we got If I Don't Have You by Sofia Domingo.
Yes.
Earlier in the year, we read Tia Williams' latest release. We read Candy Ryan's latest release.
Look at that.
We revisited Bolu Babalola's Love in Color. Bolu, I'm still begging for the second part of Honey and Spice. Give me a release date, please. We were blessed to read this YA novel that I still think of till today, Miss Ebony Liddell's Love Radio. Oh, it holds a place in me heart. And Christina Forrest's Partner Plot. And I promise you guys, we will finish that trilogy.
Absolutely. As you see, you guys, we read here.
And that's just from this year.
And that's from this year, exactly. As always, in this love shack of ours that we call our Let Cup podcast, we embrace all different types of love tropes. Put a star in that because some of y'all have tropes we don't really embrace, but we generally embrace most of them. And we know for a fact we reviewed something just for you. And on that note, let's get into it.
Welcome, welcome back. As my very giddy co-host stated, I'm sorry, guys. I don't even feel proud of that one. I don't. But we are jumping right back into A Very Giddy Christmas by Tomilola Coco Adeyemo. And we're loving it. We're doing chapters 16 and 14 today. Last time we saw our characters, they were basically being told, you know, you have 30 minutes till this wedding. And our girl, her mama basically said, at this point, girl, who are we to question what the gods want for you? Just do it.
Exactly.
So we jump into chapter six, and it's homeboy's perspective, Kunle. And he basically has left the place and he's on the phone with Timmy and he's like, girl, that man want me to get married like tomorrow. The archbishop is talking about some things. My mom is saying another thing. And she's like, yeah, like it's all over the blogs. People know that you're about to be married. And on top of that, he's like, well, there's that. And then there's the fact that, like, Tislim is here as well. Tislim, whatever. That rat is here in the name of an older brother.
Right.
And he's just acting a type. Like, he's just being weird. And I don't like it. And Odelia doesn't like it either. And she's just like, well, at this point, you know, you got to get married, one. Two, how the heck does BG feel about this? And he's like, oh shoot, like what does Biodun feel about this? This is crazy. Like, right. I'm trying to prove to her I'm serious about this, and like y'all are doing the most. You're doing the most. So, but he's like, well, we gotta go through with it at this point, I guess. And I still gotta find Malik. And Timmy's like, okay, I'll do you one favor, I'll go look for Malik. You know, you focus on trying to become CEO.
Yeah.
All right. And nothing much happens in that chapter. But we get to chapter seven, and we switch back to our girl BG. And she basically, she spent the night at the, was it the Maison Bleu? It's some rich people hotel, okay? It has nothing to do with me and my non-rich self. Because then she said her and Alex took an Uber back to the mainland.
Right.
And I will say again, like Tommy Lola is like, if you know, you either know Lagos or you don't. And that's not my
business. Can I tell you, the experience of reading this book is just like, oh, if you don't have even like some context about the continent generally, you're going to struggle. You know, like even like from the beginning when she's talking, when she was trying to commute from work on $0, like the whole chaos of hopping onto the buses, you know, we don't like, I think Nigeria, the bus to Kampala. Yeah, where the buses are a little irregular. They're not regulated by the government. It's more like a private sector that does something and then they just go in and out and it's disorganized. If you are not or have never been on the continent or maybe like the global south, yeah, you know why is this happening.
Yeah, and what she's taking actually is not even a city bus. It's what's called a keke. It's like a little yellow three-wheeler vehicle.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, hey. But again, you only see those things. You won't see it in Toronto.
No.
But,
Well, you see those, like, they do it for tourists. You know what I mean? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I've never seen this.
In London, they call them rickshaws, I guess. I mean, they have them for tourists, but in Toronto they have them too on Lakeshore, like during the summertime.
Really?
Yeah, they transport people from Ontario Place all the way to like the other side because of the traffic is so severe in Toronto. Everybody knows this. People hop onto those instead, and these young boys are riding them.
No, those are the ones where they're pedaling themselves, but this is like a completely motorized vehicle. But
are they two types? You can have both. I've seen both in my country.
But that's what I'm saying. When you said you see them in Toronto, I was like, the motorized.
No. They don't allow those on the road.
They would never allow that. The way
traffic is? Yeah.
We might have to. With that being said, so she gets on there and she goes to work. And of course, everybody at work has heard about the engagement. So everybody's looking at her. And can I just say, I actually hate this for her because I can't imagine going to my place of employment and everybody is constantly staring at me for what has been like a week. Like, I'm here to do my job.
Especially like, as Africans, because we're nosy. Like, it's part of the culture. So, like, even... We're gonna get into it. Like that girl Bella, like every piece of information that goes out, it's like chaos in the meeting. Like we are talking about ROI. Why all of a sudden are we talking about sex tapes? You know what I mean?
You know what's even wilder about that whole situation with Bella is last week I felt bad when I said she was runner up or something. I was like, damn, maybe she won. No, she really was a loser in the game. So for like, you know, and I get it. Sometimes the people who are the most like, you know, the biggest characters off a show are not the people who won, but she's giving big loser energy. So I don't know. But anyway, so she gets in and everyone's staring there like, married, engaged to our boss. This is crazy. Yeah. I too had been like, oh, so she really sleeping her way to the top.
No, I'm kidding. I personally would be best friends with BG, so I would not. I'd be like, girl, like, tell me how this go down. You know, that'd be me.
Fair enough. Oh, we also missed a part. She ran into her landlord at
the landlord
on her way back.
He's like, oh no, come here, girl.
It's like, come here. Going? He said, first of all, I thought you were a good girl because I've never seen a man come out of this place. But in 2-3 days, I see a big ass car. Next, you know, you're pulling up in an Uber. I open up my phone. I'm looking at, you know, the news. And they're saying, you're married to the biggest CEO on the continent.
Yeah.
And you owe me. And he said the same thing that I said. He said, somebody who got pregnant in April would have given birth by now. Yes. And I said that last thing. I said, "Whole gestational period." Exactly. He's like, "I've tried, haven't I? I've tried."
He has, to be honest.
And she was like, "Okay, I hear you. Give me a month. I'll get you your money plus interest." And he said, "No problem."
Yeah, he said, "Interest?
No problem.
Go about your business then." Yeah. So back in the office, now that it's public information that she is going to get married soon, her office boyfriend, also known as Andy or Andil, Andile.
It's Andile. The name is South African.
Oh my god, that makes sense. Yeah, Andile. My notes typed differently. I don't know. Anyway, Andy pulls her aside and says, "So, what's happening here? She's like, yeah, like him and I, you know, we've known each other pretty much their whole lives. Like, you know, back and, you know, back and forth, yeah. Something happened 12 years ago. He's just like, oh, okay, so you're actually going to marry him? She's like, yeah, yeah. And this is when Andy said, you know, I gotta like you. I've always liked you, girl. And I was too afraid of telling you because like, you always have your guard up. And I'm pretty sure there are a lot of people in the office who have tried to talk to you, speak to you, but you always seemed like you just had other things on going on. And my girl was shocked. She's like, oh my God, this is crazy. I had no idea. Why didn't you tell me? She's like, well, you know, like for the same reason I just explained, like your guard's always up. And I think we're just starting to build like what that relationship with Kunle did to her, because she seems to be a little bit more on the fence about opening up her heart. And yeah, damn. I mean,
fine. There's the trauma of it, but like, let's be honest. Once you've met your soulmate, like, why would I want to date frogs? Like, no shade to Andy.
Okay.
Because like low-key, she said it herself. She was like, the only reason I even developed feelings for Andy was the fact that he was nice to me, which is a woman's biggest flaw. A lot of us end up liking people because we say, oh, he has common human decency.
You know, yeah, you're right. And I think there are some guys who are like that as well. So it's just, we're not, you guys, we need to say things as they are. We need to use the words that we were taught and express feelings directly. Because I wouldn't know.
And yeah, I feel like we've all done that.
I'd be confused, like, actually.
Denied.
Yeah. You know.
One time, I said, nah, guys, he's just being nice.
This whole time, he's been dreaming about you, planning your wedding. You know what I mean? Think about where we're going to live. And all that good stuff.
Planning your wedding is insane.
I think girls do it, boys do it, we all do it.
Why would you plan a wedding that's my wedding? You're just showing up.
Oh, okay. Oh.
No offense. But there was a quote that I liked from this part. It was like, now within days, I've been the subject of both a sex tape and a sudden engagement to a billionaire son. My social status has changed. The pity has been replaced by curiosity. Instead of feeling looked down on, I can sense a grudging admiration, especially among other women. It irks me that it has to be this way. That is the cover of a man that is insulating me and elevating me, but I'm not a child. The ways of the world don't bother me anymore. And I just thought that was so crazy. Like, I feel like, you know, I don't like to quote this lady too much, but she was right. Like, we teach girls to be in competition of others. And it's like, we are the first to build ourselves up and break ourselves down. You know, misogyny wins every single day.
They always win.
And it's crazy because, and the worst part is, like, the whole time that we're talking about the sex tape, it doesn't look like it was filmed by these people. Nobody is taking in that they were violated. Like, nobody's remembering that. They didn't film it themselves. And even if they did film it themselves, they didn't post it themselves. Right. So, like, you know, it's just strange. It's just very strange. But then also the fact that women are like, I mean, we sat here too. We said, God, where, like, I was like, where's my Kunle? Save me.
Maybe he's a guy you left 12 years ago. Just count backwards. Who is he? Go find him.
12 years ago, I was 12.
Okay, maybe it's that one. Yeah. It's 14. You are not 12. You are not 12 for sure. But do the math. 15. I'm not going to wait for you to figure out.
I just did it. 15.
Okay. Yeah, so find the guy that you were, you know, had a crush on 15.
Went to school with people in the same socioeconomic status as myself.
You never know. He might have been there.
And I've kept with the love of Instagram, I've been able to see where everybody has gone, and none of them are hanging out with the Elon Musks of the world. Okay.
For sure. Okay. So after Andy does his confession, Kunle has decided to have a conversation about, I guess, the contract. They want to finalize the contract, essentially, because this contract is just like, they're just saying, like, it's getting really confusing, you know what I mean? There's attractions, mm-hmm. whatever it is. So they're just like, okay, you know what, let's put some ground rules here. Except there were no ground rules. This man Kunle said, listen, girl, let's do this thing for real. Let us try and be married for real, okay? Like, all cards on the table, blah blah blah. Of course, BG had nothing to say in response. She's like, okay, cool, deal, let's do it. I think this is when he also gives her a promise ring.
No. It's when so they have this conversation, but then he gives her the promise ring when they go to his mom's house for dinner.
Okay. No.
Yes. Yes. Yes, it is. Absolutely.
I can bet you right now $1 million that it's not.
You don't have $1 million and neither do I. I'm telling you. Because
when he went to his mom, because we're going to go next. When he went to his mom's place, he only confessed something to her. He didn't give her a promise ring then. He gave it to her prior to it. So they can show up as a united front to the mom saying that we're actually going to get married. And this is my engagement ring.
No, I'm right. Because they go to his house to get ready for the thing, and he's bought her a dress, a Maya Taffo. I remember because I looked up who Maya Taffo was. So yes. Now they're sitting, they're drinking, and she says, "Don't drink and drive." And he said, "This is a tonic water." They switch They switch cars, and then he pops the passenger part of the, and a box rolls out, and that's when he says, "Oh yeah, this is the promise ring." And then he goes off, and he's like, "I'm gonna prove this to you, like, you know, rat ta 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 ta." Well, but yeah,
that's
girl,
that's exactly what I just said. They said, "Let's
no." You said the contract conversation, yeah, but they had that conversation in the hallway at the office.
Okay, when they had the conversation next, that's the same. Then I said, "That's when he gives her the promise."
You me $100 million.
Girl, I'll give it to you right now. I just know that's a sequence of events. So they had a conversation in the office, and then during that same chapter, those couple pages, he also gives her the promise ring. Then we go to chapter 8 when they go to the mom's house as a united front with the idea like we're gonna get married. Now let's get into the new stuff. So now we're at chapter 8. Chapter 8, we go into mom's house for, I guess, the little party or the little dinner, and at first, they thought it was just going to be them and the mom. But no.
And he kept telling her, he's like, Nkem's not going to be there, right? Nkem's not going to be there. Yes. He's like, yeah, no, of course not, of course not.
And then we do actually get a little snippet that I think, like, BG thinks that him and Nkem had a thing when they were not together during the 12 years. And, of course, he's denying. He's like, no, of course not. Like, I have a type. She's not my type. Of course he's lying.
I didn't believe it.
Of course, because the way Nkem is described in the book, she's a beautiful girl. And because he was a womanizer, a slut, rather, a community bicycle. What else can we call a man like that?
A harlot. Whore. Finished goods.
No. Finished goods. Run through. You know
what I mean? Ran through, listen. Ran
through, like that type of man. I would think that, no, you definitely.
Everybody rides him just like a bus route.
Listen. He's all those things and more. Anywho, I didn't believe him when he said, "Oh no, like, and I have a type." Miss me with that bullshit. Anywho, so promise that Cam is not going to be there, but of course, the devil is always a couple steps ahead sometimes. And so when they go to the mommy's house, who is there? Cam, and not only
Cam, useless brother, but
that rodent older half brother of his.
Oh, and his dad.
T Slim, oh yeah, and the deadbeat daddy who has somehow reformed to be a quiet man.
No, but
okay,
we finished the book. After a while, I was like, oh, this is. But we'll get there.
You know, we will, because anyway, we're at the house and we find out that there are actually two engagements we're supposed to be celebrating. I said, oh, that's wonderful. Who is the second? Turns out. The rodent half brother is gonna get married to Nkem. And instantly I said, red flags, red flags, red flags. These people are in cahoots and they're trying to get my mom and dad out of the country, out of the world, and into space.
You know the vibe they give?
You know, Pokemon? Bigger. Who?
Who? You know Pokemon?
Yes.
You know the two evil trainers who are always beefing Ash Ketchum?
I do. They're not.
Pikachu, not Pikachu. Meow Meow's a trainer. Oh my gosh. Sure. People who watch Pokemon, like, you know what? I'm going to pull it up right now. We have to.
They were fighting, so they were beefing each other? Meow Meow and Pokemon's.
I think that's the name of that Pokemon. Sorry to the Pokemon people who are like, that was not their name. I don't care.
No, truly, she doesn't.
These two divas right here. These two divas
fighting each other. I actually don't know their names.
I don't know their names, but you guys know me. The main people who had the cat Pokemon who are always popping up and they're like, shh, get down. And that's the vibe that Nkem and Tisloom give. Like, just like whatless villains.
True. Like, and there's no reason for them.
Rocket.
Okay. There is. There's no reason for them to be doing this. And it's very evil, very, very treacherous behavior. So they're engaged, a shocker to all of us. And at some point during that dinner, I think as they're having dinner.
Sorry.
Are you a Pokemon fan?
No, I did not a fan. Like, I grew up watching it, I think, like a lot of people, but you know, but I do remember Wobbuffet. He'd be like, Wobbuffet. and he was a very useless Pokemon, but love him down. Like, Jesse and James and Meowth. Not Meow, Meow, Meowth. Sorry. It just had to. Okay. But that's the energy that Nkem and
right.
And Tissim are giving me. Like, this very whatless villains.
They are whatless villains. And throughout their dinner, they were throwing jabs here and there about who's married, whatever. And Nkem is a very passive aggressive person. By the way, Nkem is the CFO, so she handles the purse.
Finances,
she,
yeah.
The finance.
She does handle the purse.
Yeah, right.
Nkem, we need money. She says, give me my purse, girl. Let me pull something out of there for you.
Exactly. And she's very successful at it, by the way. She's good at math, but she's a horrible human being. But aren't all mathematicians horrible?
That's what I'm saying.
Because why would you create this? Why would you make us do this? So that's evil by default. Ah, yeah. Exactly. There, all the reason to hate her. At some point during the dinner, I believe Hunlei and his brother take some time out to like talk to each other. So they go to some room while BG is left with Nkem and the mom to do other stuff. But in this room, this brother...
He's so weird.
Yes. Thank you. Like, as I was reading his dialogue, even the way he talks, it's first of all, it's very condescending. But it's condescending. He doesn't make any sense. And he likes to talk in like, what'd you call it? Like almost like purposely trying to confuse you or like, I know something you don't. You know what I mean? As he's talking. And I wanted to box his face.
No, because we have to talk about this. He was like, you're not going to be CEO, like, yes. Ratata. And then he's like, do you want to know some fairy tales? And he's like, fairy tale number one, debunked. Yes. Why does our mother hyphenate her name? It's because she loved my father so much, a man she only married to for a few years before he died. Or is it because the Ajayi family invested in her business and she owes her current success to them? Fairy tale number two, debunked. Why, if number one is a lie, did our mother give me the son who has never worked for her nor displayed any interest in her business, who is a fucking philosopher, the largest shares in her company after herself? Is it really because she loves me more than you? And then he said, well, what's the rest of them? He said, I'll tell you later.
That's where I was just like, okay, like, shut up.
Don't tell me at all. Wasting my time.
He is just like, I don't know what to describe that type of personality. He just sounds like a loser, a big, big, sore ass loser. And also, you're what, 5-8 years older than Kunle? How old is he? Yeah. 5 years, 8
years older.
Sir, geriatric. You have bigger fish to fry, like your knees. You need to go check on your prostate. Okay. Like, there are things for you to do. But meanwhile, you're bullying a child. I mean, Kunle is 30, but you know what I mean? Like, it seems like throughout the entire.
Kunle's not 30. He's 35. He's
35. But I think throughout his life, from the moment they were young till now, he's always like treated him in a certain way. I'm just like, you're beefing with someone who's way younger than you. You know what I mean? Like, you're in a different tax bracket. Like, go back to Sweden. Like, do your little Stockholm shit. And also, why is a philosopher talking this way? Why do they give degrees?
He's a philosopher.
Dishing them out. I personally don't like philosophers.
That's not even true. But going forward.
Anywho, so Kunle is like, Odil and I have been like, what the hell is?
I was like, just put the fries in the bag, man. Like,
like, I want to go.
Like, nobody cares.
that boy leaves the place and he's left to be like, oh my God, like what's happening? What's going on? Everyone's acting weird. His mom is acting strange at this point because he's thinking to himself, like, what's going on? The dynamic is a little strange. And then he remembers he has to go see his girl. And so as he leaves the room, BJ walks in and they have a little conversation. At this point, Kunle's looking at his wife, his fiance, and is thinking like, this is the hardest girl I've ever seen in my life. He was not even focused.
There goes my baby.
And as she's like asking him like how are things, like what happened, like tell me the tea, he's just like, I can't do this. And she's like, what do you mean you can't do this? He's like, honestly girl, I'm just gonna tell you straight up, I'm attracted to you, okay? I want to kiss you right now. In fact, I don't want to kiss you. I want to go all the way. I want to go all the way until we're breathless, tired, and fighting spent, for our life.
Camilla said she loved that word, spent. And I said,
oh no, she does. She loves it. And he keeps going. He keeps going. He's like, I want to taste you. I want to da da da. By the way, as now, like in reflection, they only did it once. So 12 years, this man has been holding on to just one flashback, not only like in the bath, in the tub when they were, you know, doing a little thing, but like priors. I'm just like, wow, 12 years of holding on to flashbacks like that. That's nice.
No. He wasn't holding on to no flashbacks because he was out here slinging it to any.
But I'm pretty sure he was her face.
Anybody with a moving heartbeat and two chesticles.
I don't like men like that because I'm scared they could even fuck the drywall. You know what I mean? Like it's scary.
And it's always this is the same question I had, like even with in Where We End and Begin. I was like, why did Obi turn into, and it's the same time it's 12 years.
Why did you remember that JD Garo made his character that way?
Because it really was
at the receptionist, and he was, you know, the girl came in and said, oh my God, Obi again. And then my girl's like, what do you mean, Obi again? Meanwhile, my girl doesn't know that this man has been slinging it and slinging it just north, east, west.
Like, just real used up toothpaste. I don't know. But, anyways,
it's a mental illness.
He was not holding back to no flashbacks, he was creating new ones.
Anyway,
I'm gonna pull it out when it's special. And she's like, and then she at one point she's like, stop talking, PG-13.
Yeah,
which leads into her perspective, and we learn that while the boys were off doing their thing, their mother was trying to play good mother-in-law and like figure out these people who all of a sudden want to marry her children. So she's like, Kim, when did you start
liking this boy? Yeah, you know, the timeline is not timelining.
What's funny is that even on the dinner table, when she asked, what's his name, to Slim, like, when did this start? He was like, you didn't ask Kunle when it.
Boy,
you know you're pushing 50.
It's just a question. It's just an innocent question.
And she's like, I've never told you couldn't or could do whatever it is that you want to do in this life. However, it is strange because nobody knew this was happening. At least these two over here, we've kind of like
historical. We have historical data. We know of these people.
So then when she's asking Kim, she's like, what do you like about my son? He's like, we have the same life goals. It was very pragmatic. And I was
perfect
like,
level. Oh. It's very like what I would say in the job interview to get the job. You know what I mean?
And then they're like, okay, Beeldune, what about you? And she's like, she. And of course, and Kim's laughing. I was like, girl. But then she's like, I just want to heal him. And I was like, heal him? Bobette the Builder?
No. Did she say heal him? Or she said that she just wants to take care of, like, what did she say? You know how I feel about girls who say stuff like that.
Yeah, because you get on me every day.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I want to protect him.
Okay, fair enough. Because
I just thought you're making excuses. If I said I want to protect somebody, you would be like,
No. If I knew, if this was your context, you know what I mean? If this was your background, I'm like, oh yeah, you go ahead. You guys are soulmates.
Serve and protect.
Like, this is just a random, ordinary, common person.
You're kind of loving my life, random, ordinary, and common.
Like, what's his name? Ahmad from Curvy Girl Summer. I want better for you, girl. I want better for you. I don't want you dating those girls, those men you were dating in the summertime. Nah, I want better for you.
I agree.
Yeah. So, I think this. Okay, there's one thing I want to point out from the comments, like the whole dynamic there, when the mom was asking them to help her, like put the decorations on the tree, and Kim was talking about, oh, I have tendinitis. First of all, it's my first time hearing that, so I don't know what that is. But apparently, she can't like.
I've heard of this.
She can't what? What is it?
She just doesn't want to put stress on her tendons. Like
someone who is very, someone who is in her prime 30s.
She just told you she has a disability.
Does she have a disability?
Tendinitis.
Does she have it? Do you think it's real?
I do think it's real.
You think so? I think she's a liar.
I think it's real, but I don't think it stops her from climbing a small ladder and placing an ornament.
I think so as well.
So...
anyway, so Beecher was holding the box, so she's like, damn, like I guess I'm gonna be helping, and she does.
At but she doesn't point, climb it.
No, she doesn't climb it.
If this is gonna be my sister-in-law.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At some point mama gets tired. I mean, I would too. Like, damn, you have two kids, engagements, 13 wives, flips the table, you know what I mean?
19 engagements. Thank One you. Thing on this podcast, we're going to reference Beyonce
and Housewives.
Like, we put Shrek to bed, thank God.
Did we?
We did.
They'll make an appearance today. I'll find a way to squeeze a Shrek reference. I'll find a way. Anyway, so Mama goes upstairs because she's tired. And this is still Miki's perspective. So she actually now is like when Kunle confesses to her that he wants to make sure that she's spent and breathless by the time everything's done and they get to kissing and stuff, and touching and stuff and that kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
You get it, girl. So anyway, so she leaves that, before she leaves that place, the mom is like, yeah, cool. And then Kim was like, so this is a fake nonsense, right? She's like, I like her response though. Beauty was like, it's not fake. Is your engagement with to Slim fake? Is that what you're trying to imply? And she's like, she's like, let's just get used to it. Like, you know, essentially telling her you don't belong. Like, yeah. Normal. Even when she walked in, they asked about her, his father asked about her mother and her catering business. She was like, like, I hate classism.
Oh.
I really do. Like, it's such a disgusting, like, trait to have. Like, why are you classist? Why are you upset somebody else is poor?
You know what? I want to go off topic for a little bit. I'm so sorry, Adelia. It's just because of a tweet I saw today. Someone was talking, I think in DRC, they found like
the copper.
Yeah, the copper. And someone was just like, oh my God, if we like DRC would be so light years ahead of a lot of countries, if it wasn't for these colonial blah, blah players coming in and trying to like corrupt the government. And someone quote tweeted and said, you know what, you guys, I think you underestimate the bourgeoisie and the rich people on the continent, because they're the ones who are actively signing the deals, not even signing deals, maybe just handshakes and selling land off to people. And these are the wealthy, the top, the 1%, I don't know, in Africa, maybe it's 0.5%, but like the top 1% are doing all these little secret contracts. They're in cahoots with the colonizers. They're actually to some degree worse than them because they adopted this colonial institution and something that was not really what pre-colonial times we had. At least I can only say for like my tribe, that's not how we were running our like kingdom.
Governance.
It was a different, yeah. It was a different type of governance until Christianity and colonialism came together. And these people found a way to make money off selling their own people, selling their own land, and they continue to do that till this day. And I think like classism is such a huge problem back home, because I think that's the reason why a lot of our economies are not, could never expand, because the wealthy want to maintain their status as being wealthy. You know that money does not go with you when you die. That's one thing that y'all don't understand. The money stays here.
It's not going with you. Never learned that from like pharaohs buried themselves with gold and cats and servants. Yes. And the white people went in there and still found said gold, said cats, and said servants. Like, but yeah, I saw the same tweet and somebody even quoted with a movie, a documentary called Colette. Yes. I have it on my thing because like I gotta watch this.
Patrice, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was a guy on there, and he was essentially like, we didn't expect the white people to even leave, to be honest. Like, mm-hmm. and just essentially saying the same thing. And I think that's the thing, right? Like, even in the African American context of it, like, the reason things like the NAACP existed was for the rich black bourgeoisie of the 1920s and onwards. They never were there to serve the poorer black people.
Yeah.
So, and it's the same thing here, right? That's why African leaders stay in power for so long. Like, it's that idea of like, you may be suffering, but I genuinely do not care as long as yeah. I'm okay. Like, yeah. I don't care if you're literally crossing waters to get to work to earn peanuts.
Yeah.
If me and mine are sick, we'll just fly somewhere. We'll get the best care. Like, I really don't care. And that's the thing, right? So, like, and that, I think this also made it so easy for, like, what happened with, like, Patrice Lumumba, who, if you don't know, was the first president of Congo.
Who was assassinated by the Belgians.
The Belgians and the CIA.
They were all killed.
But it was easy. Like, you just have to find the one idiot, the one monkey amongst the trees who's like, look at the shiny object. Look at the shiny object.
Make him the chief of all chiefs or whatever it is.
Yep.
And instantly, it's like, oh, okay. Let me do this for real, for real. And that's why, what Adila said, they stay in power for the longest time. They create such a militant, violent environment that you can't even resist them without dying, losing your family members. And no one wants to lose their family members, but that's how it is.
And we actually get a glimpse of that in this book.
Yes.
When he, I think we were talking about, but when he goes and sees Oloye, which is the leader of the PDC, but then the guy who he hired to be, I don't know y'all states, but I'm assuming he's the governor of whatever state they go in.
Yeah.
And the way that man, he said when he started, he said he was a man of the people. He was here for the Yoruba people. Now you see him, he's garnering expensive glasses, chains, this. Probably wearing like the nicest agbadas that you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, and the thing is, like, I think the absolute power corrupts absolutely. And you do have to play, as we learned in the book, you have to play to a certain tune with these people because they don't take no for an answer. And I think that's another thing that makes it so easy for us to, I always say, like, the way we raise children within the African context is the same mindset people use to be so easily colonized, because you beat children for asking questions or for offering new ideas. So then those children become obedient, oppressed people who don't question their teachers, they don't question their bosses, they don't question, you know, their politicians. It's just do. You don't ask, but why is this man only coming around every 4 years with bags of rice to entertain us when we've been begging for a hospital? We've been begging for healthcare. Like, why is it? No, you take the rights and you go. You don't ask questions. Now you're throwing the beatings turn into militarization. You even ask even less questions. And it makes it so easy to, like, control them. Like, you just, we don't even, like, what I will say is I hate the way sometimes Africans speak to their maids. Even, like, you watch movies, the way they speak to their employees. If my boss ever spoke to me, the way sometimes you see bosses back home speak to their employees, I'm calling the Ontario Human Rights Council. I'm not playing with you. Like, you can't talk to me like that. But, like, it just makes it so easy to be, you're oppressed on every level. You're oppressed by your parents. You're oppressed by your church sometimes. You're oppressed by your employer. Then you're now oppressed by the politician. Like, it just creates a land of hopelessness. Like, and I'm not saying the continent's hopeless. There's so much to be hopeful for, but we could have so much further.
Rid of the rot.
So much bigger.
Yeah, we have to get rid of the rot. The way we operate is just, it doesn't make any sense. The outcome of the kids is the reflection of the government is the outcome of what's coming out of it. Yep. You know what I mean? And someone was talking about, even like in the American context, I'm just like, but these presidents y'all hate so much, they're the outcome of the same schools, the same teachers. You can't keep repeating the same type of mythology expecting a different result. Like, you have to drastically change things. Anyway, the last thing I'm gonna say is that if y'all are really interested in even like understanding like how politicians, I mean, if you're if you're an African, you understand like on the ground. But there's a book I'm currently reading, The Havoc of Choice by Wanjiru Koinange, who's a Kenyan author. She talks about the machinery behind just the politics. And this is most specifically in Nairobi and then like the post-election violence in 2007. But it's like to the T, like with the same tactics we're doing across the continent. And it's madness. It's absolute madness. But here we are, y'all. Here we are. Sorry for derailing us once again. But I think it was an important conversation to have because it's really like, yes, you guys, we talk about Black women on this podcast. Trust me, Adil and I, we love that love. Okay. We lick it every day. But there's a bigger context around some of these books too, and I think it adds more flavor to the entire novel. So that was a nice discussion, Adil. Thank you so much for sharing that.
And just to add on, like I think we said this at the end of last week's episode, like this is a political book.
Yes. Thank you. This is absolutely political. Don't keep going. Stop scrolling or reading through the chapters to get to the part where they're kissing. You guys
read the context.
the lovers are living in, because it's actually important.
It's so important. Like read, like again, I will say, like this is a book podcast, so clearly if you're here, you're already reading, but read, niggas, read. Read other things.
That is my Uncle Ruckus.
Yeah.
That is one of my favorite lines of all time. Like I want it on my gravestone. Read, niggas, read. All of us, please. Anyway.
And it's so, so true. I have actually a strange tidbit that my father shared with me. Okay. But my dad, if you guys don't know, I'm Cameroonian. My dad, Cameroon borders Nigeria, especially the region my family is from. He went to university in Nigeria. At the time, there weren't that many English-speaking universities in Cameroon, despite being a bilingual country. So he went to Nigeria. But, yeah. And obviously, once times, you get a couple people who get on the bus who are trying to take things from you, you know, and if they think you don't understand what's happening, they'll target you, especially if they think, oh, this is not Nigerian. So he said, the reason that the people, and I'll just say, African dads are very out of pocket, but he said the reason that they knew when certain Cameroons were on the bus because he said Cameroons don't read. The Nigerians always had a newspaper. They had something. So he started carrying around his newspaper. He said Cameroons don't read. And it was obvious. It's like, Daddy, please. But for the most part, like considering the current climate of things, but Cameroons, Africans don't read enough. Like, let's read more.
Let's comprehend more. I think like the reading, I know like we are always raised to be very studious, but as you're reading, like criticize it. You know what I mean? Like poke holes in it, please. Because you probably have a better idea. Seriously.
That's what we're doing here for the most part, you know?
We're trying. We're trying our best. We're using the two brain cells that go between Adil and I. You know what I mean? Exactly. We're trying. All right, let's get back to the book. Sorry, y'all. Anyhow,
how did we got here? But yeah, but and don't be classist. Like, be nice. God, blessed are the poor. That's what God said.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways,
anywho,
so she walks out with her useless, devious husband or husband to be, and that's when we catch up in her perspective. Her going to Kunlei, he's telling her like, "I want you. I need you. I need to have you," and. That's when she's like, okay, PG-13, and they kiss. And there's a part here that I was like, oh, I gotta write down. So she says, pulling myself away from him is hard. The feeling of being in his arms again made me realize how homesick I've been for him all these years. The smell of him, the texture of his skin, the taste of his breath in our bodies, responses to each other's touch has been buried deep inside my core all this time, and now feel as familiar to me as the worlds of the tips of my fingers. Mm. And I was like,
you know, sometimes you lip somebody and you feel like, yeah, this is right. This is what we're supposed to be. You know? Anywho, yeah. And also, like, Tomi Lola, you're a writer, and that's why I rated this book 9 out of 10 from the first part. Because you gave me everything I needed in the first 5. Crazy. That was so sweet. Homesick. Didn't realize how much I was homesick. That's what's sticking with me. So I think we do like a little like couple days or maybe the next day, we're back at Real FM, and my girl gets a
Can I just say, Lord, I'm asking for something like this to happen to me. Who's gonna buy my jobs company? Like, I need.
I'm just like, God, please. You know,
please, Lord.
You know that meme of this guy's driving, and then there's like a beer truck. Was just like, Lord, please turn them, like, let it crash right now. So you can go and sell crates of beer.
Lord,
you're like, God, please send me the money. Bring an acquisition. Bring a merger. Anything.
What do you mean a triple payment plus a
triple payment plus a bonus? Oh, so they call it the 13th month, which is basically the bonus that they receive. And it's
untaxable.
And then on top of that, my girl got a promotion. She's no longer level one, level two. She's level three. Okay. She's a supervisor. People talk to her, direct to her. She has people.
Also, I've learned through this, Nigerians get paid mostly, I guess, on a monthly basis, not a bi-weekly basis. Interesting.
I think because every country has a different like system of how they do payroll, being paid monthly. I'm telling you, Odelia,
it's awful.
I would be destitute on the first of the month. The fact that I have to wait 4 weeks.
And I see, because I think South Africans do too, and I always see them tweeting. They're like, guys, it's only the 10th.
The money is gone. Because I think about the paychecks I get every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
The way all the companies know that I got paid. So now the phone bill is due. Now the hydro is. What do you mean? All of a sudden something is broken that has been working everybody's perfectly for months.
Car tank. For me, it's always gas tank. Gas tank on E. I'm just like, oh.
You heard the money come through and went straight to E.
Oh, that's interesting. Oh,
crazy. But, anyway,
yeah, no, but I don't know if I could do a monthly thing, but I would, you actually have to be a really good budgeter.
I would tell them, like, I'm begging you,
split it.
You just have to. I'm sorry, find a way, please. So triple the pay.
And a promotion, yeah.
Which is fantastic. So she's actually very worried. So I think in the next... amen, girl. Claim it. I think we move on to the next chapter, I believe, where she confronts... Oh, it's his perspective. Oh, is it? And then she confronts him about the pay. She's just like, okay, so why do I have more money than I should? Okay, and why do I have a promotion? What's going on here? He's just like, oh, like the guy who's working on the reorganization and the merger stuff. He's just like giving people what they're worth. And, you know, he's a financial guy. He understands what he's doing. But my girl's thinking to himself, like, did that kiss just...
And he's just like, no. Kiss.
But no. So he had
That had nothing to do with me.
It was because you're talented. That's why you got paid more and you have a promotion, which is great. Now, this is where the story starts to get interesting because this boy gets a call. He gets a call from Kim, the classist. And Kim said that you have to go meet somebody at State House or some sort.
Yeah.
And instantly he's just like, suspicious. Red flag.
She says, go to Ikeja to meet the PDC. And he says, Falcon's supposed to be non-political. So he texts his mom. And his mom's like, it'll be rude though. Just go to the place. Gets to Ikeja. And nobody's there. This governor's not at the State House. And she's like, oh, sorry. Go see Oloye. He's somewhere else in this place called Magode.
Yes.
Pulls up. And it's like, it's like a bathhouse.
And you know what?
People go to
misbehave.
Yes.
Sadly. And you know what's so funny? Because it's his perspective. He's just like, the moment I drove through those gates, he's like, I know this type of vibe. I did it for many, many years. I can sense the nastiness in the air. So when he walks in, obviously, what he sees is like, oh, okay, there are these women dressed up as elves serving drinks.
Oh, and they were actually elves. Yeah. I thought he was being insolent.
No, they're dressed up in elves because it's festive season. So you put like, you know, like you have to match the theme of the season. So they're dressed in sexy elves saying, "You want a glass, sir?" Whatever it is. And he's just like, "Oh, this is so strange. Like, I don't want to be here, but like, what can I do?" Surprise, surprise. Guess who's there as well? Timmy.
Timmy.
How? Timmy? Is it Timmy or Timu?
Timmy.
It said Timmy. That's what I said.
That's what I said too. Where did you hear Timu?
Why did I hear Timu as well? Because I said Timmy, and then I thought I said Timu because I always see Timu as you guys. It's actually a madness.
You guys can buy a Pilates equipment off of Timu. I just need one of you to do it and let me know what the result is.
You buy it and it'll come out miniature. You wouldn't even know. Like, you'd be like, oh my God, this was like a reformer thing. No. It's a reformer for your Barbie. So he goes into this place and Timmy's there and they meet this guy, Olo.
I got it.
Oloye.
Olanre Waje. Sorry, I didn't know this
myself. Okay.
Am I even in the right?
Juan Oloye
Makinde. No, give me one second. I got it. Oloye Olanre Waju Makinde.
Okay, so in her cast of characters, she doesn't have the full name. She just has the...
Okay, no, because I looked through that, and because she's even dating the son or whatever. What's his name is dating the son?
Timmy is dating
Olusoji. And he's really like Soloji, I think.
Yeah, Olusoji. That's what Olusoji. I have.
Sorry.
Yeah. It's off of the cast of characters, man. Like, sometimes I was like, wait, who, what? Hey.
Oh, they got everybody. So Juwan Oloye, that's the
guy we're meeting right now.
Yeah, Olusoji is
his son. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Oloye is a politician with no heart. He's a heartless politician, like most of them. Okay. And the reason why he is there is that Timmy's dating his son, and because Timmy's a lawyer, I think she's trying to like help him do like cover up a favor of some sort. Like they're working. I don't know what's going on there.
Okay, so essentially, right?
I'm talking about Timmy and Kem and him.
They both dated him. So yes. Kem used to date Olusoji.
They didn't date the father though.
Oloye is the father, but she dated Olusoji, which is the son that Timmy's dating.
Yeah.
But it didn't go far, as we learned, because Kem was clearly using Olusoji to try and get close to Oloye for her uncle, because her uncle is Chief Oboye, and he needed some kind of like something.
He had a financial scandal and needed to be reworked. So that's why they were helping him.
Oloye is the chairman of the People's Democratic Congress, the new party.
Democratic.
And they're clearly the leaders in the state in which Lagos is in.
Correct.
But the man who's leading the place is doing a madness. No, he won by like a very tiny.
So he rigged the elections and got his little votes, and there he is.
So Oloye has brought them here because he realizes like this, they're not well liked, the PDC, and Timmy's here as legal counsel. She doesn't know. But then he's like, clearly the problem is not that this man is a waste man who can't lead nothing. The problem is these kids, they don't understand anything. All they know is to tweet, Instagram, TikTok. They don't understand. So we have to control the media. And we heard Falcon has a situation room. Where did you hear this from? Because there's only like three people know about it. Yeah. So now he's like, if you give me control of what's happening there, then
you will
be CEO. And now you have to start asking yourself, like,
are you morally corrupt?
Are you ready for the big man politics or no?
Big man politics or not? I think this is where I expected it to go, because in the beginning we were talking about buying the acquisition with Real FM. I said, okay, I think I know, like, if there's politics, there's always politics involved when it comes to buying media houses. So I said, yeah, this is like the natural term.
Succession.
Somebody
should make it a succession like show about an African country. It would actually be so canceled so quickly, because like the people would shoot and kill them.
Shoot, no, Delia.
Because if the stories are a little too close to home,
I feel like there's a way we can make it work. Because it would be such an interesting story to tell and a very, like, natural to the environment because all of them are like that.
Like, can you imagine, like, a scandal-esque show?
I would eat it up.
You know, but...
Anyway.
Yeah, but anyway, so he's trying to do all that, and then he's like, no, he doesn't want to do that because... One thing about Kunle, or Kunlele, as Aloy calls him, he is a good man.
Yeah.
Okay. So he was just like, no, I don't want to do this. Timmy, how do we handle this situation? Also, why are you here? And she's like, oh, yes, I'm dating Olusoji. He's like, this is what you want to be tied up in? And she's like, no, Olusoji is not like his dad. He doesn't even like politics.
You're right.
No, I believe her. And that's when
you believe her in hindsight.
No, I believed her when she said
the tree.
I believed her when she said, but like she said, the reason I believe him is because Nkem tried it already and it didn't work. Like if that was the case, he would have stuck with that, right? But the minute he found out what she was trying to do, he cut ties with her.
You know, let me tell me, if you have a father like that, I'll start thinking to myself, you know, that's genetics, right?
It's not genetic.
I said that environment you're growing up in, I don't know what behaviors you caught, but I'm afraid. And also because we know at this point that Timmy is notorious for picking bad men, and that's why Kunle was saying that he would box the guys and some of them were dangerous.
I wish I'd box a couple of the guys.
I do not know anybody in my circle who was going out with a guy who has almost threatened to try and kill you even. And so that's why I thought to myself, Timmy, what the hell is going on here? Because that's, I'm just like, I said, oh my God, another bastard. Great. And this time, Kuno was just like, well, I came in boxes when this one's a politician. So I'll end up in jail. You know what I mean? And I'll lose CEO and I'll lose my wife. So he's concerned. Anywho, so what happens? They come to an agreement where Timmy's just like, don't worry, sir. We'll go and draft up some sort of contract to try and figure out how we can put this in writing. And we'll figure out like how to help you the situation. Because I'm skipping a little bit ahead, but his mom did give him some advice saying that you have to learn how to say yes. You have to learn to say yes without saying no. You have to say no without really saying.
She essentially said you have to tell them no in a way that makes it sound like you said yes.
Yes, correct.
Which give is them a little something without giving them everything.
I would hate advice like that.
No, but I hear it still, right? Because you're dealing with people who could, like we said, like they could.
Fair enough. But I'd be like, I can just box him.
No, you can't. A man who brings you to a place like this.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, he lives another day. All right.
And you know what's crazy about it? I don't even hate the place that he's at. Like, if that's your bread and butter, really and truly, like, have fun. Like, this life is short.
Wow.
But it's daytime.
It's also the nature of the environment of the skill that you're working at. You know what I mean? You are a big company, multifaceted. Like, you expect to have these sort of, you expect the politicians to start trying to, you know, be friendly with you and get things out of the way. So it makes sense.
No, it's not even that. Like, one, I think they're doing it to test what your morality is. And then two, I think it's because when, like I said, it's daytime. It's a working day and you're at a sex club in the working day. Do you know
what is open?
But that's what I'm saying. Why are you taking business meetings in the sex club?
Girl, he went anyway. Like, I don't know. Like, he just did.
Not Kunle. Aloye. That's what I'm saying. It's a test.
I'm talking about the other guy. I don't care about one.
Girl, what I'm saying is, like, the whole thing is messed up because why are you even taking those type of meetings in that type of environment? Like, you're trying to say something. You're trying to say you're above all this. Like the laws are not for you, right? Because that is crazy. Imagine your boss told you to hit up a partner.
And you end up in the sex club?
I'd be like...
I would hate that.
But you can't do anything because of who he is. You can't even do anything.
He's almost like above the law in that case. So,
and it was at this point that I was like, as he's going to this place, I don't know how paparazzi business works in Nigeria. Or something. Like, let nobody take you a picture. And next, you know, they're telling your wife that you're out here gallivanting. Ring's not even been on the finger for 24 hours. Like, hello.
What happens?
But then I had to ask myself, this Bella girl, this Bella Jones, Bella, whatever you want to call yourself in this life.
You mean Big Brother, Big Loser?
Why do you have connections in the sex club? Because they said that picture wasn't even like someone took it. Someone sent it to her personally. So then.
Don't you know? Why? Bella's behind TMZ.
What is that really popular Nigerian blogger who used to post? Her sister's on Real Housewives of Lagos. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Something with an H.
I'm trying.
I have to find out.
I'm trying to remember.
You know who I'm talking about, right? They really
hate it. I think I know the blog. I don't know their names. I do know the blog, though.
I don't know if it's still a big blog, but I remember it being really big when I was in uni. And her sister's currently on...
what's it called?
Okay, her sister's name is Lori KG.
What's the name of the blog?
The blog is her sister's name.
Okay.
It has to be something else with an L, Nispa. Yeah, this is so important to us, guys. So sorry.
No, don't apologize.
Linda KG.
That was the name of the blog?
Yeah, like her blog was like called like Linda KG, blah, blah.
Interesting. It's a bell for me. Okay. I'll check it out later on and see if there are any stories there that I used to laugh at.
Like, they post all the time about, you know, celebrity news, Nigerian celebrity news. But but I was like, hopefully there's none of that. Hope nobody like that is waiting in Magode for you. But of course, Bella clearly knows somebody, you know. So when they're doing the meeting talking about, we switched perspective now, and this is chapter 11, talking about why everybody got a pay increase. It was so funny because when the thing came in, one of the secretaries was like, Biodun, our in-laws has blessed us.
Which, honestly, yeah. Are you mad? Like, we got paid? Yeah.
They said we took care of arrears. We tripled, and then we applied whatever you were owed. We tripled it to apply to the new bracket, plus your 13th month.
That's how you do business.
Morally. What was the first thing I would do if that happened to me?
What would you do?
I'd go to coach, first thing.
Okay. How about you pay your bills?
Yes,
Yolanda is chasing you every day. You're jumping out the window just to make sure he doesn't catch a glimpse of you. You pay your bills first.
Yes, I'll pay my bills.
And then you load up your car and have money for transit.
Why? My husband sent me a driver.
Hey, remember? I thought you were. You're being.
Oh, as myself. Oh. But the way I'm imagining as myself, God has also sent me my own kunle, right?
Okay. So you know what? So. This is the part where I have to stop you because the delusion. I don't know what's happening here. Are you taking your vitamin D tablets?
I just took them earlier before I talked to you. But
fantastic.
Take your vitamins, guys. If you live in the global north, the sun's disappearing. Even though it's slow this year, take them.
Disappearing.
Uh huh.
Okay. So. You're right. Now, everyone's looking at her because this new organization structure gave her a promotion. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess you climb up real fast, huh? I wonder how. And so she sees eyes on her, but she's actually a talented person. So
yeah.
if I'm not the type of person who's going to hate on you. If you have talent and it's, hey, you deserve it. Especially how the crooks has been running this place prior.
I think that's what's crazy about it because, okay. Prior to, let's pretend this never happened. Like, nobody found a sex tape. Nobody did this. Okay. They called her into that room because they realized every success that place had in the past 4 or 5 years was attached to her. And yeah. Everybody already knows that it's attached to her. So why is it now that Kunle has showed up and suddenly it's because she's sleeping with the boss?
Because people are so like, I don't know. People are like that, which is awful. And also, by the way, I don't care about promotions. All I care is about bigger pay. I don't give a damn. If I'm an assistant to the panhandler on the road, I have 30,000 more in my bank account, I am the assistant to the panhandler.
Literally. Title means nothing.
It means nothing to me.
You don't need title. It's
not. Well, I want action, okay? Title is false power. Action is there's money in my account that I can tap my card to. Swear. Anywho, everyone's giving her side eye, and this is the part when Adila just teased out, like, Bella got a little video or a little picture of Kunle at the daytime sex club.
The daytime sex club.
bathhouse, whatever y'all want to call it. And it was like, ah, yeah, yeah. And Bella is just like, look at this. Isn't this not your fiance?
She's so rude. She says, do you know where your future husband is? And that's when Byojin's like, I'm not a monitoring spirit, Bella. And
then I love that.
I love the term monitoring spirit.
Because I really am not.
I'm not. I know some of you apply it to people who look at your social media accounts. And I think it's so funny. Low-key, I am a monitoring spirit, because when I see a change, I'm like, let me go look at this. Where are the pictures of that man I saw? Where'd you go? Oh, okay.
My girl's like, okay, and what? Like, I don't know what to do.
You're obviously, so cool, fiance in Magodo right now in a sex party. See premium shege loading.
Oh, yeah, she did say that too.
First of all, this is a work meeting. You ignorant. Anyway,
and your new bosses are in the room with you, and that's what they told you, Bella.
And he says that the person you're even talking about is your boss.
Yes, I've never seen somebody just so stupid. Just stupidity is your fascination. You know what I mean? Like, it's just weird. After you got paid that day, yeah. Anyway, they gave her. I think they gave her like a warning and said, "Girl, you do this shit one more time, you're out of here. Like, you can go back to Big Loser."
Literally.
And lose this time.
She lost last time. But anyway, so then at this point,
runner up. But you know what? It doesn't even matter. Details don't even matter. Oh, she didn't win the money. Right.
So moving forward, she's like, okay, well, of course, this man is out here doing this. But he comes back and he immediately, I love men who love you and are like, I want you to know, like, I would never, I wrote it down. Give me a second.
Adila's just crafting quotes for her future.
I'm manifesting.
Yeah, that's what she's doing. She's manifesting, y'all. Like, let her quote it so it goes out into the atmosphere, and then maybe there'll be some payback. Let's go.
Amen. Amen. So he walks in, and he's like, it's not what you think. And she's like, what am I even supposed to think? He's like, if this was a normal situation, I would have said that I'm not cheating on you. Then I would have explained that, and Kim called me after we saw each other this morning and explained that. And I would have said that, you know, I did this, and I would ask you for your thoughts, for your support. He explained the whole situation. And then, you know, he said someone at the party sent Bella a blurry picture of me. Mistura is working on making sure it doesn't get tweeted. Your mom will never have to worry about me going forward. I plan to be good to you, to make you happy, to make you proud. You should walk into every room with your head held high. I will never betray you or disappoint you again. I was like,
Fantastic.
I was gonna say something, but let me not say that. But yeah, I really
like the reassuring and very reassuring, yeah, of him.
Walking up in the room with your held high, because you know how pitiful it is to be walking in somewhere and people are like, that's that person's wife, that's the person, girl, he's cheating, you know, he's cheating, here. And like you said, Africans don't know how to mind their business, so you're hearing the it would drive me bonkers. I don't know how someone would do it. I don't know.
I cannot. I don't have, like, I'm not trained.
I'm not trained for that.
Yeah, like, it would be a bad situation for me. yeah, that was sweet. I don't know what happens next. Is this Father Christmas? Sorry, I was trying to, like.
Yeah, so the next day he takes him to go to this place that his, oh, he has this relationship with his grandmother, his paternal grandmother who passed. Yeah. And she gave him this necklace that he always used to wear, but then he stopped wearing it because, as Timmy explains in this moment, he didn't want people to see him as the village bicycle.
Wayward whore that he was.
And he stopped wearing it, but it means a lot because that's the only person he felt like really and truly loved him. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, there's also his grandmother. Apparently they lived in Ibadan, but then she is from Ikorodu in Lagos. And there's a school that she used to visit all the time, or she taught there. So he makes it a habit of, like, whenever there's a holiday to go there and like give back, and not for PR purposes. He refuses it, like photos or anything, but the kids know him. Like, and it's one of those moments, like, you know, like if you're a woman who wants to have kids and that attracts you, like seeing a man take care of children and be like, you know, it really does. If you are that type of woman, it really does.
I know a lot of people in my circle who are like that, you know what I mean? Yeah. they see a man do all this stuff, and you know, it's like, oh look, potential father, look at him.
Yes, exactly.
But he does sell his case 100% as someone who would be a very empathetic, caring, loving parent, and like beyond the financial like responsibilities, like emotional responsibility as well. Because of course you guys know, at home we call it Father Christmas, right? Because we don't say Santa Claus at home.
You're Santa, but like my parents do say Father Christmas.
We say Father Christmas as well. So I'm just like, oh yeah, like this is, I think Santa Claus is something that's more of
Western
terminology. So at this point, the kids are happy. They brought the gifts. Everyone's volunteering. Everyone's happy. Everyone's giddy. But you know, Father Christmas the holiday season is very busy for them. Yeah. Okay. And there's a guy who's really good. The kids love him. Who's supposed to show up, but he's still like stuck in his other gig, and they're afraid he's not gonna be able to make it. And so Kunle's just like, okay, like go to the market and get me a costume. Like I'm about to ho 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 on the kids. And so,
hey.
Sorry.
I'm
sorry. No. You guys, by the way, I don't mean it in that way. It's more of like,
no, she means it in the pure way.
Yes.
But it's funny.
Yes, in the pure way. But I mean, ironically, you know what? Let's move on. So I think Timmy helps and they get him a little costume and it fits him nice and well. At this point, BG's just like, that's a real man right there. You know what I mean? He looks good in the suit.
The father of my kids.
And he does his thing with, he does his bit with the kids, and they love him for it. And I thought that was such a sweet, sweet thing to do. You know, I like a man who, you know, me or Dilly, you know, I love a problem solving man.
Yeah, I think the most attractive thing a man can do.
I love a problem solver. I like men who are just like, okay, problem. Oh, solution. You know what I mean? Like quick, with a quickness. There's no lapse of time. I love that. And so
at the same time, though, we also find out that the CEO, they've released a top
nomination.
Yeah. So him and Cam. And I was like, that makes sense. And then Jeremiah, who's their real estate guy. And I was like, oh, okay.
We don't really hear much from Jeremiah, but he's out there doing good stuff for the business, from what I hear.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's not a shoo-in, essentially. And this is why his slimy brother is here. With that being said, we get to chapter 12, and it's another day in the office. And it's perspective. I don't even remember why they're
trying to brainstorm what they want to do for the guy, the governor of the PDC party.
Yeah, so they did come up with an idea that they were going to do like a 12 Days of Christmas video series and have different people from the community like come and speak, including this guy who's the governor as the last one. So that way they're kind of giving them like, it's not really direct support of the PDC because he's the governor. So it kind of makes sense for him to do a video without like really and truly giving Oloye everything that he wants. So, you know, they planned it out, and BG and Andy are going to be the ones doing it. So Oloye comes, and so does the governor. What's that his name?
Olu. No.
Kimmy.
My characters. Here we go again.
I didn't even say him. I said, let me not mess up this time.
Who is this one, Odilia? Oloye?
Oloye, the chairman.
Okay, who is his? What's his name? That's man. The other man's name. Okay, that other one. I'm not even finding him in the cast of characters, girl.
It's in the other chapter, but here he just says that he just showed up. The governor showed up. He gets there. So this is what I found funny. So he says, 10 minutes after I arrive at the state house, the governor shows up, a rake of a man, and I say, hee hee hee, as a Bridgerton fan. He says, a rake of a man who wears gold, round-rimmed glasses, and a pseudo-intellectual air. And I love pseudo-intellectual because I find a lot of men are not as smart as they pretend to be. On his first run, he modeled himself as the new Awolowo, the unifier of the Yoruba race. Now he's a more well-known for his mistresses who fought a bloody battle online over him and his love of extravagant cars, not to mention the general decline of the state as a whole. And there was something in the previous chapter where you said, since he became governor, the state has gone down in healthcare, education. He said any measurable statistic is gone down to. And the political science major in me, I definitely giggled. But then he gets there and you can tell this guy is loyal to a lawyer because he prostrates, which is when they lie on the ground.
Yeah.
Like, oh, so you deep in the evil Kool-Aid. Well, that's nice. So they do the interview and then they go back to Real and they're editing it together. And Andy comes in and he's doing the voiceover. And I think Beodun is like, yeah, you do it. You have the better voice for it.
Yeah.
And all Kunle heard was, eh?
You all Kunle had is like, you want to be my wife? What the hell? And that's what he heard.
He said, how dare my wife compliment another person in front of me? Right. How dare you compliment another man in general?
Yeah.
So then she's like, he's like, I have to talk to you. So now, of course, because of who they are, they can't just have casual conversation in the hallway anymore. But she had that her little room. And he was so sweet. He, like, made it nice in there. And he changed the door so it was soundproof so they don't have to whisper. He was like, partially for me, I didn't feel comforted by that room. So they go down there and he's like, so you and Andy, like, wagwan, like, are you, like, you men are, like, have you ever, did you kiss Andy? Like, I'm not asking because I'm jealous or anything, but did you kiss Andy? And she's like, no. She's like, do you like Andy? He's like, no, lie. She's like, does Andy like you? Why does it matter that if Andy likes me?
Right.
And he's just like, I don't like it. And she's like, you're being jealous right now. And she's like, have you always been like this? And he's like, what, clingy, possessive, sensitive, jealous? Yes, babe, I was and I am. And anyways, they keep talking some more.
Well, you guys, you know what? The name of this chapter is called.
Is it? No, Conjugal Tide is the next one.
No, the name of this chapter is called
Hits the Season.
Hits the Season. So you can imagine how it ended.
So he
what he did, y'all, is that
you know, when we were
younger. Like, do you like, I think he's almost like confessing, like, do you want me the way I want you? Because I want you now. Like, let's go, girl. Like, stop this nonsense. And so he's talking. They end up kissing. Okay. And then he lays
a lot of her.
A lot of her everywhere. You know, and he does his little his thing, right? And
then he says, I remember from the end of the chat. Feel free to scream. The door is soundproof. Yes.
I said it just came. I was like, oh my god, here we go. Anyway, y'all, yeah, he did. He made. So Kunle, it seems like you. Yes, the informal word that they say in the Brits.
Oh, we see it here too a little bit.
But where is it originally from?
Probably Jamaica.
Okay,
you know.
I don't hear most people say. I don't hear most people like say that here though.
It's like
an old slang. Yeah, y'all say something entirely crazy nowadays.
What? Well, now people say eater.
Yeah.
So they used to. I remember in school, you say giving brains.
Honestly, we just said giving head for both. The whole thing is just head. Giving head.
English is funny.
Yeah. We're grown. Anywho, so yeah, let me move on to the next chapter. And now it's in BG's
perspective.
It's because we moved from head to, you know what I mean? Head to toes. If you catch my drift. And so this is a really special chapter. I really like this chapter because this is I guess, like, I think most of us culturally we do this where before getting married, it's almost like you go to your wife's home or vice versa. It really does depend. But in this case, Kunle has gathered everybody and we're all going to my girl's ancestral home in...
Oh, they, I don't know if this is her, ancestral home. But her family lives in Ibadan.
Ibadan? Yeah. Okay,
and so that's where... Well, that's where they grew up, but...
That's where they grew up. And so they're in the car ride over there and talking. And then this is where they talk about, like, how they initially, like, I don't know, became friends and fell in love. They're, they have a shared love for Nollywood films.
Nollywood movies.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was really interesting because they were talking about just, like, the different characters. And Kunle is like, a man. He acts like he doesn't like that corny or, like, funny stuff. But eventually he's just like, let me sit right here and, like... Let me tune in and figure out what's going on here. And they have an agreement to watch, I think, all their favorite ones. Is it like during their marriage or like some sorts? But anyway,
during the weekend they say, but I think it's a little doesn't work out because it's so tight. But and they're talking about their favorite actors. And I will say one thing: I love countries where they're really obsessed with their own media as much as like American media. Does that make sense?
Like, yeah, because most people would answer, say, oh, I love a Western actor, Western actress.
Yeah.
No, these people are saying, no, I love this guy from this Nollywood film from this year. Yeah. And he was also in this other one. And I loved him in that one too, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, I just think it's so important. I just think it's so important to have, like, I don't know, I guess it's just the anti-Western, anti-Americanization for me. Like, every country has their own movies, things like that. Especially if you, Nigeria's done an amazing job, and they mentioned that, like, the way in which their creative industry has grown. Like, he mentions, like, being in top 10 categories across the world. Of course, a lot of that has to do with, like, globalization as well. Like, the fact that me and you are sitting here in Canada right now, right? Like, I'm watching whatever I'm watching, like... I want to watch a Bimbo Adamoye movie. I'm going to watch it here. I'm not flying back to Nigeria to watch it. Okay. So, like, that plays a role, but it's grown. It's grown significantly. I'm sure people, like, same thing with Bollywood. Like, here in Brampton where I live, we have a huge Indian population.
We grew up in the theater here. I'm going to tell you one thing. I think, like, at home, Bollywood and Nollywood are the top two, but people can quote Bollywood like this. Like, it's a different... It's a different
tier. My mom used to sing the songs from the ones that she used to watch up.
You don't even understand what they're saying, man.
No clue.
Let me tell you one thing. I'll be humming along to my favorite song.
I played Bully Chulia the other day in the car. All the movies, the songs from Kabi Kushi, Kabi Gum.
Like, guys, I'm telling you, Kabi Kushi, Kabi Gum is one of my favorite songs. It just sounds so, like, for me, it's just the melody of it. Ugh.
But like, I love it. And whenever I, like, watch Bollywood or Nollywood or even, like, South African movies, like, telenovelas, Brazilian telenovelas. There's such a, like, distinct, like, what I love about it is, like, how the direction of the movies, like, it's so very ingrained in the culture. And I love the idea of it being, like, it's definitely, like, for you, by you. Like, you know who your audience is. And I feel like I recently watched a clip from John Boyega talking to, I'm guessing he's somewhere in Nigeria, talking about why maybe American producers or whatever don't want to work with Nigerian directors, la-di-da-da. And he said in a very nice way of, like, essentially, like, y'all are very particular, you run late, your heads are a little too big, whatever. Whatever your criticisms are, that's fine. But I think the one that I think really does stick is the fact that, like, you can't ask an American to go and, like, and I think that's what I'm really telling y'all to please go audition for Children of Blood and Bones. I saw Tomi again on my TikTok talking about it, like, please go audition, I'm begging you. But, like, it's the fact that you don't want an American to come and try and make something. It won't click the way it's supposed to click. And I find that even the ones that are on Netflix now a little bit, it's like there's this idea of trying to please an audience that is not yours. But what made the movie so good to begin with was the fact that it was for you. And if anybody who wants to watch it will watch it, and they will pick up what they're supposed to pick up, and they will relate to it in the way in which they're supposed to relate to it. Like we just said, we don't even understand half of the things they're saying in the Bollywood songs.
Let me tell you,
we're not the target audience, but the way I will eat that up the way I love a Filipino telenovela.
I was just about to tell you.
Filipino Marimar is my...
Y'all don't know this, but let me tell you. What's it called? Ina and Angelo. I don't know if you
watch it.
Ina and Angelo. It's called a long way. Whatever it's called. It's another whatever. That show. That. I was a child. I didn't understand like what's going on. But Claudia, I said, I know a Claudia. I know women like that, because at the end of the day, regardless of the language, regardless of how it's dubbed, I don't care. For me, I'm seeing human interaction. I'm saying this is, this is relatable, right? And that's why when I hope when they finally do Blood and Bone, God knows when they will. When they do, I hope I see subtitles, okay? I don't want to hear a speck of English, okay? I want subtitles there. And I want actors from that region, that country, or people who are strongly associated there. That's my prerequisite.
To quote Parasite director Bong Joon-ho when he won his Oscar, he said, the way you can open, I'm paraphrasing, you open your world to in film and in general when you get over that tiny hill called a subtitle. Like, don't tell yourself, oh, I can't watch this. No, like, please watch it. Watch it. And you can learn. You may not get every little idiom because, again, language is very specific, culture is specific. But like Hannah said, a story is human at the end of the day. You can relate. I watched Parasite and I said, yes, I am part of the proletariat class.
Listen, I too was killing them.
Exactly.
I took my knife and, shanked every single one of them.
Love is love in any context. Yeah. Like we just said, Ina and Angelo, Marimar, whatever. Like, but so, and I urge, I think as the world becomes more global, there's still this thing of like white people or Americans or whomever are watching our movie. No, just make the movie. I love them stories, those stories that we're telling before. Just make those with HD cameras. I'm begging you.
With actual scripts, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff. And I really wish our governments were serious in terms of even like building the infrastructure of our countries, because location. Because when John Boyega was talking about like filming on South Africa, I said, this is ridiculous. When there's so much lush, vast land around the continent and you have to go to South Africa to film everything, like, no, we have to do something about that.
Do you remember like in the 2010s Afrobeats videos, every single video was in South Africa, and I was like, why don't they ever, like, the majority of them, they would film a little bit in Nigeria, but I was like, go film at home. Like, but like you said, they don't create infrastructure to where you can do that. And I think we see, because like here in Toronto, like, they film everything here. Toronto is basically New York. So they film everything here, but the government is made in a way where you are able to make money off it.
I'm pretty sure it's to get a license, to get a permit, to get whatever, to block out the entire
everything difficult. Before you get a permit from this person, you have to bribe this person to then do this person. Like, they don't want, that's why I say, like, they don't care who's suffering as long as they're succeeding. It's the type of greed you see on the continent. Sometimes it's inexplicable because it's not even like there's no gain from it. Nothing is gain. Like, I always say, people here steal. It's not like Justin Trudeau's not out here stealing, at least the road is paved. At least the light is 24 hours. Like,
backhand. You know what I mean? You can't just have money bleed out constantly. You have to put it back because you have to create a society. You know what I mean? And once you create a society, you can go and tax them. Go ahead, man. You know what I mean? But give them the healthcare, give them the housing, give them the jobs, give them time to go on vacation. To be honest, people will accept it. Just accept it.
That's why here in Canada we are like, oh man, Galen Wilson just asked for my finger for some lettuce, but I guess I'll go to work tomorrow.
I got a job, you know.
But yeah, like, I just, and another thing, I was gonna say this at the end, but I'm begging you. I feel the same way with American movies right now. We need to bring back adaptation. This is a movie. This is a movie right here. I don't want to go onto Nollywood, YouTube, or Netflix, or wherever you're hosting your film, and you're once again telling the same story about the stepmom or mother-in-law who hates the daughter, and like, the sound is bad, and this is a movie right here.
Absolutely.
Pay this lovely lady for rights.
Yeah.
This is a very cute Christmas movie. Just do it. Like, and I see that with every single book that we read, like, especially on the African context, I'm like, just make this a movie. Just adapt it. Adapted screenplay is a thing.
Let me tell y'all when where we end and begin.
If y'all give me that,
I'll never. Genuinely speaking, oh my God, it would be fire.
I'll never, ever complain about nothing again. Only if you do it well. If you do it badly, I'll complain.
Anyway. Please don't half a yellow sun it. You know what I mean? I didn't like that.
Yeah.
That was a huge disappointment, honestly. But you know what? It's fine. We forgive. We move on. But there's so, and I agree with you. Like, let's adapt stuff from books. Stop rewriting Mufasa. We know what happens, man. Like, Disney, please. Like, find something else. Do something else, genuinely. Anyway, I don't know where we were, but Kim, this is all your fault. So
it is, but I do know where we were. Okay, so like you said, she's going through her thing. Like, they're at the family house, and a lot's happened. So after they had their little escapade in the office, she's been kind of avoiding him, but it's been easy because they've had a lot of work to do. With that being said, she gets to the family house. Her brother's really funny. Her sister-in-law's pregnant. Her mom is cool, and her mom's boyfriend, or her uncle Boyega.
No, her mom's friend.
Her mom's little friend. Her nighttime friend. Uncle Boyega is very nice.
Yeah.
With that being said, he's asking her, like, do you like this boy? Like, is it? And she's like, it's fake. And I was like, Beodun, who asked you? Like, you don't have to say it's fake. And he's like, but does he care for you? Like, does he protect you? Does he stand? He's like, and she answered immediately, yes. He's like, then the rest will sort. Everybody's attitude in this movie is like, in this book is like, don't worry about this marriage. It will sort itself out.
And he said something about, like, it's funny, like, it's your enemies that have brought you back to your person. Mm-hmm. And I said, you're right. Thank you, Kim. Because all that shenanigans you've been doing with my future brother-in-law has brought me back to my soulmate.
Yeah.
Hey, I must give it to you for that one thing you did, girl. That one thing you did. But I love it when you said that, because, yeah, that's so sweet. Oh, my God. I like the father figure that he is. But, yeah.
I think just like in the vows, you know, at the end of the day, what God has put together, let no man put asunder. Like, amen. And these two were put together by God himself. Like, they're soulmates. So, and he even talks to...
Must be nice.
He even talks to Kume. He's like, you have to be good to our girl. Like, he's like, I'm going to be, he's like, you don't have to worry about me, King. Like, I'm about to wow you. Like, I love her down. Like, I love her down.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, it just, yeah. So then they get married in the church. And it's so funny because they're afraid to kiss each other. And they're like, do you know we've seen more of you people than we wanted to? Like. And I was like, you didn't have to say that at her wedding. You didn't have to.
We want y'all to high five or something. Oh, that's so embarrassing that everyone has seen. Oh, my God.
The worst part is they were like 20 in that. 21.
No, this is
like, we're grown.
Yeah.
They don't even look like that anymore.
Yeah. Oh, God. Anyway. And then we wrap up in chapter 14.
Wait. So then.
Oh.
So then,
wrap up chapter 14. And in this chapter, this is just basically before the wedding. Better,
I was about to quote something from 15. So let me know.
And that's why I stopped you, because I know what it is. So chapter 14. Don't. I do. To wrap up this episode of chapter 14. So we go to Kunle's perspective, and this is before the wedding, and he has a conversation with his father. His dad, I think he goes to his father's home. He's like, it's about time. Let's sit down and talk. Dad is sitting there quietly on the mahogany table, whatever. And he's just like, you know, father, let's talk. You know what I mean? Let's have a conversation. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you and I are kind of strange. Like, this is really weird. And dad said, you know what? First of all, I want to apologize. The way I was completely, I was a lost man.
Yeah.
I was a cheater, pumpkin eater. I was up and down Lagos, frolicking, gallivanting, doing all kinds of things. And then he goes into detail about, he said, like, well, you know, like, I don't want to go into too much detail, but something about his mom, Kunle's mom, and his half-brother's father. He doesn't give too much here, but he talks about the rumors that came out, you know, after he died, and everyone was just saying that, oh my God, like, how this happened? Why did she get remarried so quickly? And I think that really hurt him as a child.
Mind you, the so quickly was sorry. 6 years.
So sorry, but we're gonna get into it because really, anyway, and so like he's probably just butthurt and tired, and he wants to dissociate from the family because of all the rumors and all the whatever, and he felt unloved, and when you came along and I was around and I and you had a father, but really not really because I was not around, you know what I mean? Like the whole conversation was just like, okay, cool. So it gave Kunle a little bit of an idea about like the dynamics prior to his birth, but at the same time I was like, okay, like, sir,
we're missing details here. It's not even just that, like, what happened was he was Tislim's father's cardiologist.
I thought he died of some heart condition. Mom admits that. He doesn't say that to her. The mom says it later on in the chapter to them.
No, he says it. He absolutely says it there.
The mom said it to the... Okay, you know what? It doesn't matter.
She shares something else then, but we know that he's a doctor and that's how they met. They met because that was his patient. And then obviously they waited 6 years to get married, but the rumor still came, and the dead man's family still believed something strange was happening. But there were a lot of rumors that he and the wife did something to Mr. Ajayi. And
well, they thought they murdered the guy, which I think, wow. Wow, y'all.
Yeah. So... with that being said, that's when she said, okay, you go be an Ibadan because what's happening in Lagos doesn't make sense. But then he felt like disconnected and jealous and like, you know, and he wanted to feel the love of his wife. And like the way men do, instead of, you know, showing support or love or...
Sounds like
he said, excuses, I'm going to go put my in another VV. In many VVs, actually.
Now we're not talking about these VVs, y'all.
Yeah, not VVSs or whatever you call the.
We're not talking about these VVs, y'all. The one you can clearly see on my neck. We're talking about the other VVs downstairs.
Hey, Jesus. So then he's like, okay, just to let you know, and that's why your brother doesn't like me, and like, rah ta ta. Same time after he has a conversation, he gets a call, ring ring ring. Yo, bro, it's Malik. Heard you've been looking for me. And that's how the chapter ends.
Yeah, he's pissed off, but he said, you know what? Love will help me win the battle ahead of me. Amen to you, Kunle.
Oh, to be so delusional.
No, but
I wish I had a love that could make me believe that.
Me too. Maybe one century.
No, this century. Father, hear my cry. This century.
It really is a cry. She's not going to cry. It's pleading. Like, groveling. Like, sir, look at us in our late 20s. Anyway, y'all, that's how this set of chapters end. And I know it's very long, but there's a lot. It was packed. Let me tell you, this book is like 300 pages. No, it's even less, maybe. Like 308 pages. And it is packed with pop, 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 pop. Like, we are going from one city, one house to the next house, one vagina to the next vagina. Like, it's very, very packed. Right. But honestly.
And there's a lot of themes. So you can't of themes. Like you said, read the whole book. Don't just read the chapters.
And so at least now we have a better understanding about as to like how these characters are feeling about the situation between Kunle and BG. And that's all I got, man. Like, Julia, you got anything else to say to the folks before?
No, I'm loving this book. I think I'm up here with Anna at this point, even like, I think I texted her around here and I was like, this is an amazing book. So I think I'm going to go straight 9 out of 10 right now.
Called it.
But yeah, it's a really, really well written book. And like I said, this is a movie.
This is a movie. And it's the type of book that Dylan and I like too.
This is a movie, and this is a movie. I'm also shout out to this publishing house, Masobe.
Oh yeah.
This is not an ad, but if y'all need people to do ads, we'll do it. Because I've just noticed, like, I think being in looking for more books and like being more in trying to be more an international book talk, I've seen them come up a few times and they're clearly trying to do something. I love seeing it. Like, yeah, I love it. Let's stop selling low.
I agree. But okay. Yeah. Well, folks, thank you so much for joining us in these set of chapters. Please follow us at Romantically Lit on Instagram, on Twitter, as well as TikTok. And we also do some YouTube. And you can always email us at romanticallylit@gmail.com. We love your suggestions. We love hearing from you. We love the engagement. It drives us wild nuts. And so, yeah, that is all. Anything else you want to add on, Ms. Girl, before we wrap this one?
As always, read. Please read. Reading is so important. I'm not going to say much more. I'm actually
going to make merch that says read.
Please read.
Please read, period.
Yes. But yeah. Just, okay. And yeah, have a great day.